Oh yeah. Crack-a-lackin' and what's shaking and baking and welcome back to another edition, another installment, a new episode of your favorite anime commentary game, however you want to call us. Your favorite anime commentary podcast, the Black Hockey Podcast, is back in this beat. I am your wonderful host, Tyler Pie Guy, Big Ronza, Big Tyronza in the building. Hopefully y'all have had a great 2 weeks. I want to first say I do apologize for not coming with a episode last week. We did have plans to not only give y'all an episode last week, but to also talk about Tuskegee Air in the Patreon. However, your boy was beat last week. Woo! It was really one of them weeks where I could honestly, like, it was after I put, like, I really hit the struggle bus trying to get out the R&B and chill and the Opinionated Brothers last week. So, like, just coming with, like, and I don't, like, as a growing media personality, as somebody who's continuing to elevate his craft, I just did not want to come with y'all with bullshit. You understand what I'm saying? At the end of the day. Right, I really wanted to give y'all quality content, so I just took the week off. Again, my apologies for not communicating that with you with you all, and thank you all so much for rocking with me. Thank you all for listening to old episodes and subscribing to the channel. Thank you guys for rocking with me, and we appreciate y'all. But we are back with another one. Very excited. A couple of topics that I want to discuss. We definitely, first of all, have to get into One Piece and a little bit of Solo Leveling in that. But first, I do want to talk about one of, honestly, kind of my favorite games of all time, really, in Ninja Gaiden. Familiar with the legendary kind of ninja game that, I mean, to me, in the most simplistic of ways, is probably one of the best games to ever be made in terms of action, fighting, style, the way the mechanics have been maneuvered. I just bought Ninja Gaiden 2 Remastered, right? Looks amazing, right? I've been playing it like crazy, right? Because I love the Ninja Gaiden series. Hell, I'll buy the 3-pack and just play that, right? With the specs as it was back in the day, because it was just that good of a game and a good of a series. I just looked, before I left for work, I looked and I seen that Ninja Gaiden 4 has been announced. Now, there's only a couple games that I'm looking forward to, right? Assassin's Creed, I've talked about. Bleach, I've talked about. Ninja Gaiden 4 has now made the list. I don't know. They have not released a date yet. Pre-order is not up yet. But I did see the trailer. The trailer looks amazing. Do y'all hear me? And Ninja Gaiden has always had it to where in each series you can play more characters, right? In this one, I think it's like two new storylines, including Ryu Hayabusa, right? Including his. So he's still in the fray. Right. But now you can play as another person in there who maybe is an antagonist to Ryu. So I'm excited. This was something I was just like, oh, my God, because here's the thing for me. I'm a big action pack. I love good action games. I love free world games. I love action free world games. Right. But I love a good action-packed game that allows me to do the most simplistic moves in the most fantastic of ways. And call me simple. Call me, I don't want to do the hard shit. Yeah, I don't want to be doing up, down three times just to hit a finishing move. I'm sorry. I ain't trying to do all that. I'm not. Ooh, Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to do all that. I'm not trying to do all of the Mortal Kombat bullshit. I love Mortal Kombat as is, but I'm not trying to do all that. Ninja Gaiden is very simple, and it only has a few intermediate to expert moves that I can sit here and master no problem. I love it. So I'm very excited for Ninja Gaiden 4 to come out. We'll now add that to the wish list, and we'll be looking for that to come through. So if you haven't watched the trailer yet, check it out. If you are a fan of the series, you will definitely, I mean, I think you will definitely love this game. Seriously. I mean, it's going to, I think the fan base of, including myself, will definitely be like, yeah, this is going to be it. Shout out to Tim. He continues to elevate in their craft and continue to like design the, it just looks amazing. The design of it, the specs, everything, it looks great. So I'm very excited for that. A little Solo Leveling, new episode just released on Crunchyroll. Jinwoo is exposed at this point. You feel me? Jinwoo is now exposed after beating the org leader, right? I mean, pretty much not only defeating him, but making him now an elite guard of his, right? I believe is or an elite magician, however he was, because I believe he was a magician type. So I believe he's going to be like an elite warrior, but magician type warrior. Jinwoo has now been exposed, right? And I think exposed in the sense where higher ranks know about him, and now people in the JAA know about who he is. He's no longer the E rank, and he's no longer the, as he thought to himself, he's no longer the E rank that can hide, right? He's no longer the E rank that can hide his mana or his power. He is now the Shadow Monarch, right? That's what he is. And so with this power comes a lot of great responsibility and a lot of great perks. And he continues to power up. He continues to level up. He will now be probably one of now, right? One of those S rank heroes or warriors or hunters that they sit, that they look or seek within different guilds, right? I know he's, I believe technically he's already a part of his guild with somebody else, right? The other D rank hunter, whose father, you know what I'm saying, has the guild. So, and I believe he just took that over. But do I see Jinwoo stand in that guild? Possibly, maybe, because that is, you know, technically, you know, they are like brothers. They did say, can you be my brother? All that good stuff. But I don't see it. But I also, I'm on the fence about it. He has the abilities to really go toe to toe with the top, right? And we know that his, now his father, right? His father is out. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't know the strength of his father. We don't know how strong he is. We don't even know if he's a monarch. Shadow, light, fire, you know, lightning. We don't know what type of monarch he is. But he defeated, obviously, one of the top S-rank hunters in the series. And so when you've embarrassed somebody like that, that leads me to believe that the you know, Jinwoo's lineage, or his father at least, is one of them ones. And so Jinwoo has to be one of the ones, especially now that he's a Shadow Monarch. I remember my girl asked me this, And it's an interesting question. I'll pose it to you guys as well. At the end of every episode, we see, you know, the end credits, or, you know, that in the end credit music and kind of end scene, right? And we see the end scene where Jinwoo, when he was a kid, is in this trapped room and he's scared and he's running away, he's screaming. And you just see the older Jinwoo just walking around more confident, more still, more poised. And my lady asks, like, yo, like, is, like, he's trapping Jinwoo? Is he trapping, like, his younger self type thing? And it got me to thinking. I said, that's not a bad possibility. But I'm also thinking to myself, well, he's always been an E-rank. He's always been looked down upon. Hell, they wanted to leave him for dead, right, to a degree. Like, yes, he volunteered, but nobody volunteered him to, you know, kind of, you know, nobody volunteered themselves, right? And so I guess he never, to me at that end credit, it was just me seeing that he never wanted to feel that again. He never wanted to feel as low as that, as to the point where I can't even help myself. No, I want to help myself and then help others. I think that's what it was. Because then older Jinwoo, you know, extended his hand to the younger self of him, you know, of himself. So, you know, I think, you know, this has been a great season for, you know, Solo Leveling so far. I'm definitely excited for more seasons to come, if and when they bring them. All right, so let's get into it. One Piece, the top chapters, 1138 and 1139. So 1138, we see, of course, Shamrock. We talked about this in the last episode. Shamrock has appeared, Shamrock Fingerland, and he is now facing Loki, basically. They're trying to get Loki, as I told y'all, to become a God Knight. Loki is like, fuck all of that. I'm not with that. However, Shamrock unleashes his power. His power is, I'm going to say this wrong, and correct me in the comments. I know I'm going to say this wrong. Cerberus, something like that, right? It's the three-headed dog. And if we know the three-headed dog, if y'all ever watched Hercules, right, if you ever got into Greek mythology, you know the three-headed dog is kind of the guard of the underworld, right? And so this was a play on that, right? This is interesting because when you go back and look at it, Shanks, when he hit Kid with his commissary, right? Commissary, excuse me. He was a griffin. That was his animal, right? And so you saw Shanks' sword kind of transform. It had his own devil fruit. Now, we know swords, and I think Oda has talked about this, and it's been said in the manga and in the show that swords have their own souls. They have their, think about it like Bleach, right? Zanpakutos have their own will, right? So the swords, they said some swords have their own devil fruits. They have their own will. They have their own power. This one in particular has its own power. It has its own devil fruit. So that leads me to believe or ask the question, does Shanks have the same thing? Does his sword have a devil fruit? Maybe. So his literal, you know, his partner is like, yo, we got to get out of here. Your power is making a scene, right? So we got to get out of here. He cuts off basically, well, he returns most of the body of the three-headed dog to the sword. He leaves the three heads of the dogs. And what is coming out of the mouth of the dog? Literally three swords. Literally. I mean, each dog got a sword coming out the mouth. And so the dogs are like spinning in a circle. And they are about to land on Loki. Now, again, Loki is chained to this big ass tree and cannot move. And all of a sudden, you see Shamrock say, if you survive this, come see me. come and see me and come kill me. I'll be waiting for you. I said, if that wasn't no boss ass shit, not you got defeated by not one but both of the Figuerland brothers. Damn. And that now leads me to the question, is Loki dead? Because now the dogs pierced him so bad. Like, it looks like the man is dead. All right, fast forward, right? We get to the part where Robin and everybody is learning about the history, excuse me, of kind of the world, right? And you see this montage of kind of the giants and the ocean people or the fishmen and the humans and everybody kind of working together and the sun god to kind of fight Nemu, right? Which was interesting. It was all just a great foreshadowing. We get to 1139, right? 1139, we get to the part where now they're trying to find this key to unlock Loki, right? Now, nobody wants to do that because they know what that would do for not only Elbath, but what that would do for the world. Again, this is Loki we're talking about. We don't know his power. We only know that after the fact of Shanks defeating Loki, Shanks became an Emperor of the Sea. So that lets me know that Loki is somewhat of that type tier level, even when the God Knights are coming to you, beating your ass, saying, would you like to become a God Knight? Just because they know how valuable and how powerful you are. And Loki said, nah, I ain't doing all of that. Right? Now, he stood on business. Now, for me, I don't know if Loki is good or bad. I can't tell. I can't really give y'all a answer on that. But it does seem like he wants to destroy the world, but it does seem like he has his own motives or what to do. Cool, whatever. The Straw Hats are looking for this key. They run into this older gentleman who is, you know, has his hat on. He's sitting down and everybody's like, who is this, you know, this gentleman right here? Because he knows a lot. He's speaking about a lot. Reminiscing about a lot about his days here in Elbath, looking for a particular thing, right? And it's funny, that's when one of the giants start talking about the Mountain Eater. When Roger was sick and he had to go get medicine, this one particular guy helped him up the mountain. And when things got a little awry, he defeated all of them with two axes that literally cut the mountain and cut down the trees. Henceforth, calling him the Mountain Eater. That man was the left hand of the Pirate King, Scapper Gabon. So we got Scapper Gabon now, literally in the manga. It's amazing. I love it. To finally see Scapper Gabon. And it's funny because, you know, we as fans, I love fan animation. We've created it in our head, what he looks like, you know, bald or not or whatever like that. But I was just like, damn, my man's look. Hey, I love how Oda continues to just, it's the long beards, man. He makes the old guys look cool. I love when in anime the writers and developers and designers make the old guys look mad cool as hell. Like, they look so dope. So you got Scapper Gabon, who leads them basically to the key that unlocks Loki. And so that's where they left off. And I'm excited in this One Piece season right now, because we're getting all of this. I will say this, I definitely miss my Sundays getting, you know, One Piece on Crunchyroll, but I understand why, and I know y'all need the break, so please continue to take your break. Just miss you guys. But the manga has definitely been holding us down with so much. I mean, so much. The Shamrock Figureland, Loki possibly dying, the history of the Giants and the history of the world through the Giants, and knowing that a lot of the knowledge and books that were on Robin's Island, you know, were transferred over to Elbath, and that, you know, a lot of people are getting their knowledge that live in Elbath through those books. And so, you know, to learn about the history of the world, to know that Scapper Gabon, and a lot of people speculated it, that Scapper Gabon is on Elbath, is pretty dope. Now, I guess my next question, I'll leave it here. Where is Kid? I can't believe Kid is dead. Just the way I can't believe Law is dead. Right? I can't believe that. I know Shanks obliterated him with the help of Brogan and Dory. I know it. But I just can't think that he's dead like that. Him and what's the dude with the damn Lord have mercy, I don't forgot his name. Oh shit. Whatever. The dude with the mask. Right? Like, I'm just sitting there like, Okay. Where's Kid? But this ain't about Kid right now. This is about Luffy. Right? Oh, you know what the one thing that got me was the summoning symbol. The same summoning symbol that was in that summoned all five elders was in the center of Elbath. That rose my eyebrows. I said, well, wait a minute. Now you wait a minute. Because it's those same symbols not only summon the five elders, but they also summon the knights. So I'm like, did they get some? God, good Lord. Did they get summoned there? Were they summoned there? Did I'm just like, because that looked so similar to one of the summoning symbols. It's getting good on the manga tip for One Piece. Shout out to One Piece. Shout out to Oda. Continue to bring us fire. Thank y'all. Y'all have a great, great rest of your week. Again, this week we will be putting out a Patreon. I will give y'all more in-depth review of Tuskegee Airs, so look out for that on our Patreon. Be sure to, again, like, comment, subscribe to my channel, Tyron's D Hicks, where you can find clips of this show and others on our podcast, on our network. Of course, go to our website, www.epicechopro.com. That's where you can listen to our podcast and listen to this podcast on all streaming platforms, podcast platforms, or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night. And of course, this has been another one. Stay breezy. I love y'all. Peace out.